So I was round at his house once, he was playing his guitar and I was batting the hell out of a waste paper bin. He said, "My God, you're good, aren't you?" I can see natural talent there.
When I was about 15, I decided that I wanted to be a musician, and that was all I was interested in doing, so I just stopped studying at school. I just couldn't be bothered, you know. When we left school, we just sort of went abroad.
We were going to Australia, we were on our way to Australia to work in the mines and earn money in motorbikes and things like that. And we just did a bit of busking and we just got to really enjoy it.
In some ways I'm quite envious of him. I mean, when I was 18 I joined the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra with Sir Thomas Beecham. But I couldn't have said to my mother, "I'm going to Paris to busk in the underground."
When we first went there, we'd stand still, you know, and we sang, and people just walked past us, whatever we played. And that's when we started dancing to try and make them stop. And then, like, once we started dancing, it was great. We'd get a crowd, and the crowds were great, but they never gave you any money, because we used to think it was unethical to collect. But eventually we were sort of asking them, you know, in about three languages.
We were young upstarts, you know, we were much younger than all the others, you know, they were all playing Bob Dylan and George Harrison songs. We didn't fit in with the whole pattern. And so we just turned up on the Champs-Élysées playing cinema cues, which they wanted to play, which took, you know, earnings away from them because we were playing places where they would have otherwise played.
Like, they were saying to us, "You know the rules, lads, and all this kind of thing." And we said, "Look, there's no rules. If you find a cue, you just play on it, you know. You don't sort of put your name on a waiting list. It's not like you're waiting for a council house or something."
So we got picked on and it ended up with us having a fight. It was a great fight because there was all tables and chairs and bottles and glasses sort of broken everywhere and everybody went flying, but nobody actually got hurt, which was a marvellous thing. And the barman broke it up with a big stick. And suddenly, you know, to be playing on the street and for a van to stop and policemen to get out and herd you in and, you know, twisting your arm up behind your back and push you in and start shouting at you. And when you say back in not very fluent French, you know, they say something and say, "OK, understand," and you say, "Well, could you speak a bit slower?" And they get a truncheon out and sort of lean over to you and say, "You'll understand with this, mate, you'll bleeding understand with this." You know, you do understand.
Do you want any more? Gonna cast ya! 1, 2, 3, 4!
Well, she was just 17 again, you know what I mean again, and the way she looked is way beyond compare.
We got it very efficiently organised, so we started off at 7:30 in the morning and we just play a few songs, go around with a bag, you know, asking for money. Most people would give us something. And if they didn't, you know, it didn't matter. And occasionally we got people that didn't like it. Like one bloke just came right up to me and just hit me in the chin, like a good solid punch. We used to earn phenomenal amounts. But it was very hard work, you know. He said, "Make a wreck of you, a couple of weeks of that, and you're not fit to talk to anybody, you know, and you're gibbering and shaking all the time. You know, you go to bed and you're just lying awake, shaking."
We left Paris with over £1,000 each in a car and we decided, right, let's get a band, let's be a band.
So we've got to just play lots of gigs. The first thing to do is, right, just play lots and lots everywhere, play everywhere that we can, you know, get people to like us, get experience. And then we went down to a club in town, took our acoustic guitars and the electric bass, and we just went, it wasn't a club with a band, you know, it was a club with a jukebox, and we just went in and unplugged the jukebox and started blasting away. And luckily it was midweek and there was no bouncers, so they couldn't throw us out.
We more or less found ourselves within some time in January, we'd only got together in December, starting to find management deals being offered to us and talk about going down to London.
like Andrew just wanted to manage us straight away. So that was good because he was working to get us gigs other than pubs.
I actually consider myself to be more a sort of a friend advising them, and a friend who's slightly older than them and knows a little bit more about the business. I actually am very fond of them as well.
We get £25 a week, and we get £3 a day expenses when we do gigs. I mean, obviously, you know, if we've got a number one album in the charts and we've made loads of money, I think we'll probably get on to £30 a week.
Most fees the band were getting initially was about £100, and the hire of a PA for a night is about £45-50. Then you have to hire a vehicle, which usually costs about £20. Then on top of that, you've got petrol, and then occasionally accommodation and food. And then usually you try to give the band a bit of expenses at the end of the night, a couple of quid each. That's £100 gone.
Dave, have we got any drinks on stage?
Yeah, it's always taken 12 cans off.
Right, I'll fix them here.
I think we all get a bit nervous before we go on. I do now. I didn't used to get nervous because I never really ever thought, you know, it mattered. Whenever we played, you know, I always felt, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, just go on and have fun. But more and more now I'm feeling, you know, like it does matter and that it's important. I think it's a good sort of state to be in because you're keyed up, you know, and you're tense and you know, you're alert.
Very musical and funky.
I'm delirious.
I don't know.
Come on, you're late. Let's go.
Go round.
Good evening. Thank you for coming. I'm glad you could make it. I would ask you to meet four young men who come from Manchester and brought the weather with them. Would you please welcome the Smirks? Yeah.
One, two, three, four.
We've actually had discussions. We've had two big meetings to discuss what they wore on stage. And luckily, you've got four real individuals there who couldn't give a damn about following fashion as such.
I started wearing suits for a while because I got a suit for the first time in my life and I quite liked it, you know, so I wore it for a while. But, you know, it wasn't really me. I mean, I'm tough and sort of misunderstood. So now, you know, I've become a simpler character. You know, by a sort of jeans and black T-shirt kind of thing, you know, which is more sort of coherent.
Mog is an absolute character. He sort of comes on with these huge hobnail shoes. He wears sort of trousers that are always too big for him and a belt that never does up properly, and his shirts are always got some stains on them or whatever. And he ensures that the band does not become, as far as I'm concerned, a teeny bop band, because he drinks and he never looks tidy, and he ensures that he is the actual character in the band.
Anyway, what are you lot doing at our practice? He says you could come. We hired this place, you know. No one said you were coming. Anyway, just in case you didn't like the first single, this is the second. She'll be out in about 10 years. 1, 2, 3, 4.
If we don't like an audience, if they are sort of being a bit sort of petty or they're being ultra cool, I mean, we will attack them in a way, you know. Just sort of say, you know, if you don't like it, just boo. Either like it or don't like it, don't mess about. There's nothing worse than an audience which is apathetic. Like, I really want to be hated or liked.
At one stage, there was something which I found very regrettable. That was that the band, none of them went to university. So they've got this feeling that students are layabouts who are just sort of living off the state and not doing much work. So at one concert, they really started laying into students, saying, I bet none of you know what hard work is, and I bet you just spend all day smoking dope and lying around and doing nothing. Why don't you get out and get a job and all this sort of thing? We had a long meeting after that to discuss, you know, whether they ought to say those sort of things or not in public.
Yeah.
Settle down.
Yeah,
find
come
your
on.
All right, come on, lads. Down you go.
This is a song called Wasted Passion.
It's for all the people who came too early.
1, 2, 3, 4.
They say, what are you going to do when you make it? But I really feel that you make it, like, every time you go on stage and people enjoy it, because that's all it's always ever going to be, is just going on stage and playing. I can see myself playing in 40 years, if I'm still alive in 40 years' time, I can see myself still playing then, because there's hardly anything else in life that interests me, you know, apart from drinking and girls and things like that. I mean, I've been on the stage and, I mean, some nights it's horrible, but just being on stage and playing and everybody off stage enjoying it and really getting into it, it's great, it's the best feeling in the world, you know. There's nothing better. That's what it's all for, that's what it's about. When you're actually on stage playing and there's all people there, you know, and when you know, you're getting across, when we do seem to always get across, you just get surges of energy and all sorts of, you know, like feelings and emotions that all seem to sort of surge up. But it's really like, it's really exciting. And sometimes you may just tingle. You know, you just can't help it. You just get to a point in a song and you know, you've got the atmosphere and you've got, you know, all the sound, it's quite loud on stage, and you just tingle. You can't help it. You begin to not know what day it is, you know, but you don't really mind what day it is either. I mean, it gets tiring sometimes, and you know, there are days when you think, oh no, here we are again, playing the same songs to the same people, and you begin to wonder why you're doing it, you know.
Being on the road, doing about 12 dates in 2 weeks, at first your hands like are dreadfully sore. The first tour we ever did, blisters and all sorts all over my hands, but now where there were blisters, I've got all big hard lumps of skin. I've got a permanent deformation in this finger here from where the sticks lashed back in my hand and produced a big lump, that one, yeah. Leathering them every night, and the hands were just decaying, something terrible. But most places where blisters could come, and just lumps of hard skin. It's damn hard work, this rock and roll. My mum thinks it's easy. Well, she used to think it was easy. She still says, why don't you get a proper job? She's wondering about my pension, you know. Yeah, it's great. When are we playing?